keep spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life has gotta be beautiful. She's telling me.
Can't I just hear the rest of the song, Richard? Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com or tweet me and follow me at Twitter at Bruce Allen. Our next guest is Barry Atkins, who grew up in Kalispell, Montana. After graduating from high school, Barry worked on commercial fishing boats in Alaska until he moved to Arizona, where he now resides with his wife, children, and grandchildren. Heck, I didn't realize I had such an old guy on my show. He is the author of Kevin's Last Walk, A Father's Final Journey with His Son. Barry has shared his experience of losing a child with tens of thousands. He has been the featured speaker at numerous high schools, community events, and town hall meetings. Barry has also been featured in numerous media articles and on numerous radio shows, and right now he's on mine. Welcome to my show, Barry.
Thank you, Bruce.
I would like you to start off by sharing your Reader's Digest version of this journey and the story you have to share.
Well, basically, the story goes like this. On the day my son decided to move out on his own, he was 18 years old, just graduated from high school and decided he wanted to move out on his own. His buddies threw a little housewarming party for him. He started doing shots sometime around midnight. He passed out shortly thereafter. One of his buddies didn't know what to do when someone passes out, so he just went in to check on him occasionally, and around 4 a.m. he found him not breathing, and my son died alone in a hospital room while I slept peacefully in my bed.
Wow. You know, we lost three kids in our community last year. Two were suicides, and one was almost identical to the circumstances of your son. And exactly, the kids didn't know what to do. They put him on a couch, and they were also, I guess, embarrassed by their drinking or drug use, in the case of the one in our community, that they didn't do the right thing, which is to reach out for help right away. So I'm very, very sorry for your loss, and it's almost like a movie that it would be the day he left. It's so sad. You have taken that grief and that horrible loss and done something very valuable with it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think it's beautiful what you're doing, and it's a great way, when you're facing such a horrible loss, to do good for the world and ultimately good for your soul and help with your recovery, in my opinion.
So a couple things here. The first one is that early on, I knew I didn't want to be a victim. We have plenty of victims in the world, and I knew that I did not want to be a victim. And I also knew that the most that I could hope for was to make something good come from this tragedy. And so I decided to walk with his ashes in my backpack from Arizona to Montana and stop at lots of schools along the way and churches and tell the story about what happened to Kevin. There's probably a couple people wondering, well, why in the world would you walk from Arizona to Montana? Well, Kevin grew up in Arizona. He always talked about wanting to move to Montana, where I grew up, and buy a ranch there someday, and so I decided to take his ashes there. The idea actually came from the movie Lonesome Dove. I'm sure there's a couple people out there that have seen that movie before, but if you've seen the movie, you'll understand where the idea came from.
It's a wonderful book, and it was a miniseries, actually.
Yeah, I actually read the book, too. Yes.
And I did both, and I've watched the miniseries a couple times. And now that you mention it, I, of course, know the reference. I was thinking, as I was discussing with you on the break, the similarity to the more current film, The Way. But actually, the Lonesome Dove analogy is a little bit more on point. I might add right away, for those that want to read and see more about this journey and Barry and images of his son, Kevin, go to kevinslastwalk.com. That's kevinslastwalk.com. There's no apostrophe after Kevin. Kevinslastwalk.com. And you also wrote a book about it, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your book?
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of people out there that have always talked about wanting to be an author. I wasn't among those. When I got back from Montana, the last thing I wanted to do was commit to another project. But I had a couple of friends who said, you have got to write a book about this whole thing. And, of course, at first I said, no, I'm not going to do it. But as things go, you know, you kind of recover from the walk, and I went ahead and wrote the book. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, all of those things.
Kevin's Last Walk, A Father's Final Journey with His Son. Please continue.
So basically, you know, the kinds of things that you would expect to do on a walk, obviously I went through a lot of pairs of shoes. There was a lot of questions along the walk about how are you holding up and stuff. You know, I averaged 90 miles a week for 14 weeks. So, it was definitely physically challenging. Obviously, the end was...
Why didn't you just take a bike?
Well, you know, in the movie, Tommy Lee Jones does it on horseback. I decided to walk because I thought that would... Well, it gave me time. It gave me a lot of time to think, you know, and there's no such thing as closure when you lose a child.
I can't imagine. My parents lost my brother, and so I know all too well. Also, as a sibling, I know what it's like. So your other children, obviously, same thing.
Yeah, but there's a couple of things. Obviously, you have a lot of time to think. And there's a couple things I came to grips with. And the first one was forgiveness. It was easy for me to forgive those that were at the party, for me anyway. Kevin was my son. You're always going to forgive your child. But the one person that was the most difficult to forgive was myself.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, forgiving yourself for any tragedy that happens that you think you were a part of is very difficult. But if you don't do that, it can and will destroy your life.
Well, you know, I'm sure that the loss of a child breaks up a vast majority of marriages in which it's happened. Because there's always some blame that spouses tend to focus on the other, however misplaced. So I understand, not to mention the internal pain that each spouse or parent may feel.
Well, I'm very blessed to be married to a wonderful woman, and in our case, it actually brought us closer.
Well, it can do that well, and I love the expression, very married. I feel very married, but I don't feel it quite as positively as you do right now. I love my wife dearly, but it's kind of funny that you say very married. What lessons can you impart for our listeners that you hope others will get? And what was the message that you spoke at the schools that you stopped at along the way?
Well, in terms of alcohol abuse, the message is that it only takes once for something horrible to happen. Whether it's alcohol poisoning or DWI or something, quite often kids think, well, you know, I'll start drinking and, you know, it's no big deal. I'll know when it's a problem and I'll stop. And there's probably lots of listeners out there who know people who have a problem, and they are the last ones to figure it out. Everybody around them knows they have a problem, but they are the last ones to figure it out.
Wow. How true is that? I mean, AA meetings worldwide are filled with people that have struggled with this and are still struggling.
Yes.
Barry, we're near the end of our segment. I'm just wondering, would you have a few more minutes to carry over into just for a couple minutes into our last segment?
Absolutely.
Because I'd like to continue. But before we end this segment, please do inform our listeners where they can find you and what you'd like them to do, if you can, real quickly.
Well, I think that the story is a worthwhile story. It's an unforgettable story. It's something you'll never forget after you read it. The website is kevinslastwalk.com. Obviously, you can find the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those sorts of things. You can follow me at Kevin's Last Walk on Twitter or Facebook.
Have you done an audio version of the book?
I have not.
You should do an audio version. You speak well. And to hear it from you directly, I mean, right now I'm getting shivers just thinking about it. Let's continue this after the break. again, I'd like to ask you to think about between now and the break other messages you'd like to impart in the couple minutes we'll have left in the last segment.
Okay.
We will be right back after these messages with Barry Adkins, and so stay tuned.
You seem happy this morning. Don't you read the newspapers? You just have to have a positive outlook on life. That's all.
What do you mean? Nobody could be happy in this place.
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can listen or download this or any of my shows directly on my website, BruceSallen.com, at the Radio Show tab. Like I said, you can listen or download commercial-free and free-free. This is our last segment, and I've carried over our previous guest, Barry Adkins, who's the author of Kevin's Last Walk, A Father's Final Journey with His Son. And he shared with us a very, very powerful story. His website is kevinslastwalk.com. That's Kevin's without an apostrophe, lastwalk.com. So, Barry, what takeaways would you offer parents of teenagers or young adults? Because this can happen, of course, at any age.
Well, I think the one of the key takeaways for me actually has more to do with dealing with this sort of thing. And
this sort of thing, by the way, for new listeners or that have just tuned in, is binge drinking that can result in death, which sadly happened to Barry's son, Kevin. Go on, I'm sorry.
So one of the things, when Kevin died, I will guarantee you, I was angry with everybody.
And I can imagine.
I was angry with God. I was not happy that he would take him instead of me. I begged him to go back in time and take me instead of him. But as I came to grips with this during 1,400 miles and lots of time to think, quite often Christians will tell you they understand that God causes or allows everything and that he alone is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really come to grips with that, it really sets you free. When you understand that he is in charge, he has a reason for everything he does. You don't understand that reason, but he's got a reason for it.
Did you ever read the book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People?
I have not read that book.
It helped me at a very crucial time in my life. It's written by a rabbi, Harold Kushner is his name, and it's called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. It's a major, major regular bestseller. He lost a son to a terribly debilitating disease. And as a man of God, he really struggled after the death because it wasn't a phone call in the early morning like you got out of nowhere. He had months and months and years to watch his son deteriorate and painfully die. I'm not saying one is better than the other, by the way. They're both horrible. And then afterwards, he thought to himself, how am I going to minister, so to speak, as a man of God when my faith in God is challenged by this death? And he ended up going on his own journey in his mind and wrote this book. So I would suggest as an addendum to what you've been talking about, this would be a great book for people that are dealing with these sort of issues, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. I used to give it as a gift, by the way, to people the moment I knew they were going through a horrible loss. But continue with any other takeaways, and especially your reconciliation with God, because I struggled with that my whole life, because when I was 5, my brother died in an accident. And I was too young to know anything other than anger at that point at God for taking my brother. And it's taken me a lifetime to get over that.
And that's absolutely true. But once you come to grips with that and you know it in your heart that God is in charge, it really does set you free. As far as things to take away, I will tell you this. What I tell parents is the two most important things that you can ever teach a child, by far, slice and dice it any way you want, are about the dangers of drugs and alcohol. Because if they run down the wrong path on that, it doesn't matter how good they are in math or reading or whatever. If they go down the wrong path, you're out of luck. You're going to be fighting this for years if you ever successfully fight it. So those are the two most important things you can drill into your kid's head.
Got it, and I thank you very much. We are nearly out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye, Barry, and I hope I'll see you at Dad Chat, and maybe we'll do a special Dad Chat on your story someday.
Sounds good.
Okay, I want to thank everybody for joining me for this edition of the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. We talked about a living will, and we talked about a father's tragic loss of his son due to alcohol poisoning the day he moved out of the house at 18. The book is called Kevin's Last Walk, A Father's Final Journey with His Son, and it can be found at kevinslastwalk.com or the usual places. Next week, we will be talking about Tikkun Olam, which means repair the world. And it's what I ask people on my website, on my Facebook page, Dad's Point of View, every Sunday. I call it Faith Sunday. We are out of time. I want to thank my usual helpers and leaders, Les Carroll, the station manager, and Richard Dugan, my engineer and producer, and leave you with these final words, which is thank you for joining us, and remember, be the best dad or mom you can be. Goodbye for now.